Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Well, that's a pretty easy choice. Just to put it all into perspective, Joshua, in the verses that get left out of our reading, just recounted to the Israelites the entire history of what God had done for the people. How God had delivered them from slavery, had waltzed them through the Red Sea, had led them in the wilderness, had fed them with bread from heaven and squeezed water out for them from rocks, gave them the law and made them a people, led them into the promised land and gave them victory and a home. And then Joshua suggests that perhaps they might like to serve this God, this delivering, freeing, life-giving, victorious God. Or, well, they could serve the gods of the Egyptians or the gods of the Amorites. Pantheons of gods, known for their violence, capriciousness, and death-dealing. Now, if it's true, which is, as some people believe, that the Amorites are the old Babylonians that then became the Babylonians, then the Amorites' main god, for instance, is believed to be Marduk, who killed the goddess Tiamat and created the world from her dismembered body. Huh. Well, or there's the other gods, the gods of the Egyptians, that we do know a whole lot better, gods who were not exactly known for their benevolence, one of whom the Israelites had encountered only a generation before, Pharaoh, who had enslaved them. Yeah, let's not forget gods who endorse slavery. So let's see, we have God of life and freedom, or we have the gods of death and destruction and slavery. Huh. Seems an obvious choice. It seems like you might want to stand with Peter and say, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Yeah, God, there really aren't a whole lot of worthwhile options here when you put it that way. After all, God had already done the delivering, the leading, the feeding, the saving. Why would we ever choose otherwise? Kind of reminds me of something Paul wrote in Romans 8, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Who would ever choose otherwise? Who would fall back into the slavery of fear, the slavery of death, the slavery of violence? And yet, isn't it true that we fall back into slavery all the time? That we serve other gods at every turn? Our pantheon of gods is not actually all that different than the ancients. Our economy invites and endorses real-life, present-day slavery and the more general commodification of all human life. Our society is built on the glorification of redemptive violence. Our social structures are held together by hatred and capricious power. And those are just the big gods. It's not like we each don't give ourselves over to things. Don't let our lives be consumed by stuff that is not this God that frees and enlivens and heals and feeds and restores. Do I need to list the pantheon of our gods? I don't think that I do. We, like the people of Israel, stand before Joshua and declare that we will serve the Lord. We, like Peter, stand before Jesus and for the moment get it exactly right. Lord, to whom shall we go? Whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. But like the people of Israel, like Peter, we'll fail. Joshua actually warns the people in the very next verse after our reading, you cannot serve the Lord your God. And it's true. When we are left to choose, we again and again re-enslave ourselves. We again and again can't quite get it right. We again and again turn away and do not follow the God of life, the God of freedom, the God of healing. And my guess is, it's because it is not as easy as we think. Living, being free, is a lot harder than we might have imagined. It calls us to stand where others have turned to go. It calls us to proclaim gospels of peace in places of violence. It calls us to bring weapons of life and restoration and hope into places where death and injustice and apathy overwhelm. Following and serving a living God, well, it requires more than just making a choice once or being baptized and being done. It leads us to faith, which, to quote Luther, is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. It changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different people. And that kind of faith, that kind of following, well, we're not going to get it right. We're going to, like Peter, fail at it when it matters the most, and find ourselves and our will weaker than we could imagine. Isn't it good news then that Jesus showed up to feed Peter on the beach? Isn't it good news then that faith is God's activity in our lives? Isn't it good news then that God already frees us, that God already chooses us, that God already calls us to freedom, calling us back again and again and again to justice and grace and reconciliation? Isn't it good news then that God sets a table before us and feeds us bread for the journey and invites us into the wine of abundance, God's very self, again and again and again? Isn't it good news then that we come only as beggars, hands outstretched, to receive this God that promises us life, that makes us new, that chooses us for the world being born again on our very tongues? Amen.